Isn't it interesting? Because we had over here yesterday, we learned one of the Mefarshim, I remember we learned maybe Rashi, said the word yimin is a word that's used by war. It's there's every discipline has its unique vocabulary, its lexicon. And we learned yesterday the word yimin. Whenever you have the word yimin anywhere in the Torah, right away that's part of the lexicon of war. So what is the war? Milcham d'shal Torah, whatever the word, the context is. Here, in this Maimer Chazal, the word Yemin refers to Torah. It's the lexicon, part of the lexicon part of the vocabulary of words referring to the acquisition of Torah, because the Torah was given Miminoi Eish Dos Lomoi. Hashem gave onto, the word Lomo means onto them, to the Jewish people, was an eish dos, a law of fire, of Torah. Okay, this is a very beautiful chazal. This chazal is mamish the makor, to appreciate the makor of the method of learning Torah. The method is to, in a chavrusa, oy misusa. The famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who was his chavrusa, Reish Lakish, the head of the mafia. Reish Lakish, the head of the mafia. And he saw and he told him, use your talent. What?
The ex-head
of the mafia. Well, ex-head. He told him, use your talent for Torah. What are you using your talent to break into banks, to rob and cheat and corruption? Use your talent. These people who run all these, corrupt organizations, the World Economic Forum. And a whole long list of all these Rashi Tevois. Obviously, these people are very smart. No one's denying these people are very talented and how they know how to accumulate enormous amounts of money and how to manipulate. Could you imagine if these people would put their brains to doing something good in this world? Well, if they would put their... There's some brilliant, talented people out there. Unfortunately, you get hooked up with the wrong people, you bring a lot of pain. If you devote it to the right purpose, you'll be very successful. This is the success. This is what it says of you. If you really want real success in life, this is the technique of to be, engage one another in learning tzalach, rechav. It has to be l'shem shemayim, al devar emes, and it has to be with humility. And if a person does that, it is a recipe for success. Your achievements in your accomplishments in learning Torah will be wondrous. You know the old joke? It's a terrible joke, but there's a truth to it. It's very, very sad. As a person comes to Shemayim, Achar Me'ev Esrim, he never worked a day in his life. He never had a job, nothing. He was in Kollel his whole life. So Hashem says, Nu, you learned your whole life. What did you learn? You know Shas? You know Poiskim? No. I learned the Yeshiva Shem Mesechtes. Okay, so I'll test you on the Yeshiva Shem Mesechtes. No, we don't learn the whole Mesechta. We just learn, you know, okay, I'll test you on a few Perakim. No. I'll test you, okay, the first five daf of every Mesechta. No. The first daf, no, this... You can make up the joke how I'll go through all the steps. So at the end, the guy what did you accomplish your whole life? What? Tell me a shtickle tire. Tell me a shtickle tire. No. So the person. So how could I bring you into Gan Eden? What's going on over here? So the person. I have an idea, Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam, I have an idea. You, Hashem. You say a shtickle Torah, and I will schlug it up. This is a bitter gelechta. It's a bitter gelechta. There are a lot of people like that out there. They have nothing good to say. The only thing they know how to do is to schlug you up. That's all they know how to do. You ask them, I can't do it. When someone else says something, they know how to schlug you. They know how to, at least they try to schlug you up. It's very, very sad. And the person has to do planning that at the end of the day, he should have something to show for himself, accomplishments and learning. And this pasuk over here is a very frightening pasuk. It tells you, v'hadorecha, which v'chadadecha, did you engage Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, the Mechadadim Zezeh B'Halacha, Tzalach, Rechav, Aldar Emes, V'Anvet Tzedek, and then you'll have what to show for yourself. Noiro Ois. Your Yemincha, which means your achievements in Torah, V'Sorcha Yemincha, two words which refer to Torah, at the end of the day will be wondrous. Noiro Ois. Wondrous achievements, accomplishments, in really knowing and mastering Torah. Okay, now let's go to the next Chazal. Another Chazal, one more Chazal. I believe it over here is Amar Rabbi, Amar Yochanan, Amar Rav. Now this is something I never heard before. And that's not a chiddush, not to know, I don't know anything. But this is very interesting what it says over here. Very a lot to learn from this Marmar Chazal. Omar Rebbe, again, I'm on page 405, I'm the second, the very, very bottom of the page, on three lines after it gets wide. Omar Rebbe, Omar Rebbe, Ner Shal Menor Shokovso, Koidim Zmano, Nidashena Shemen, Nidashna Psila, period, Kesed Oise. What do you do now? In other words, you light Chanukah, what I'm saying, the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, they lit every night, me'erev ad boiker. They put in a chatzi loig shemen, and a wick, a new wick, and they put it into the menorah, and they lit it every night. What happens if in the middle of the night, the ner goes out? Now, by the way, how do they even know it went out? Who went in there? Who went in there to see that it went out? Inside, they locked the doors. They locked it. It's even a chiddush that there are hanim on the mizbeach burning the korbanos. This is a very big mystery to me. How they even know that it went out? Because there are hanim. They locked the doors. The mikdash was locked at night. We know they were burning the imurim, the pedonim, and the imurim. Okay, so maybe there were some kohanim that were assigned to be on top of the mizbeach the whole night to make sure that all of. Yeah, but inside the Heichel itself, the menorah is inside the Heichel. That part of the Mikdash was locked. Inside the Heichel is the menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach Hazav. The Mizbeach is outside. The Mizbeach is in the Azorah. So how do you even know that the menorah, no one, that was one of the big questions. Why did they light the menorah for? Who used its light? What was the purpose? Who even saw that it was lit? Who even saw that it was lit? I don't know whatever it means. Somehow, they had video cameras, obviously not. Somehow, they sensed that the menorah has gone out. Kovoner b'mayrev, okay? The menorah went out. So they go in the middle of the night into the
Azur. Just a slit in the door, something
a window? Was there, it doesn't seem to be. All right, you're right. Maybe you know, we have to.
Early in the morning.
Maybe we have to understand, but no, they didn't go early when they came to open up the doors. Who knows? Okay, whatever it is. It's spiritual light. Maybe there's some type of spirituality that we don't sense. We don't know. And you can sense that the menorah went out. So they checked it out. Emergency. They checked it out. And, the menorah, 3 a.m. in the morning, one of the neros has gone out. Emergency. Call 1-800. Menorah. You call a SWAT team to come and do the. What they go into the menorah. What do? They clean out. They take out the wick, and they clean out the oil because you know because once you light and it goes out, it's going to be it's going to be damaged. You clean it out, and you fill it up all the way to the top. A whole lug. You have to clean out the receptacle entirely, even though there's leftover oil. There's leftover oil, right? It went out. There's still stuff left over in there. And there's a wick. No, it says here, Nidashen Hashemen, Nidashna Psila. It says the oil is completely cleansed. All the old stuff is taken out. The wick is taken out. And what do you... The Einam Ru'uyim Oid. Shocking thing, why not? It's no longer fit. It's like Dochui. Once it was used and it didn't make it to the end, the leftovers have been rejected. Shocking, right? Why? Why is it, we own the halachas, you like Hanukkah candles, and if it goes out, you're allowed to use the oil the next night. The leftover oil inside the ner, you can use it the next night. Okay? Kate said, what do you do now? It says, Mitiva V'noisin b'shemen u'madlika. You start again in the middle of 3 o'clock. You know it's supposed to be so. Therefore, you fill it up to the top. Yosef Rabbi Zrika v'kam mibayilei. Kishu noisin b'shemen k'nida rishayna oikemoy shechasra.
Listen, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There are only 3 hours left. When we lit the candles, the shows manias, we lit it with 12 hours. We put in enough oil for it to last for 12 hours. Shows manias, whatever it is. And now, it's almost over. It's soon going to be dawn. There are only 3 hours to go. So we should make a calculation, take out our calculators, take out our precise measuring instruments, and only put in the menorah, new oil. It's a chiddush. Whatever's left over has been rejected. Dochli. Okay, that's a chiddush. We'll accept that. The wick, you can't use the same wick anymore because it's gone out, it's rejected. Okay, fine. Take out the wick, take out the oil, clean it. Okay, now there are 3 hours left to go. So how much oil should we put into the receptacle? Make a calculation of how much oil you need and put in exactly 3 hours worth of oil. No. You fill it up to the top as if you're going to light for 12 more hours. Are you talking? Why? Why would you want to go do that? So what would you do? So that's the dilemma. Amen Abi Yirmiyah. Pshita. Can you imagine what? Pshita? It's not pshita to me. Pshita? How much oil do you put in? You put in a full amount. Ki dechemida rishayno. You know why? What's the law? Why? Why would you say so? No one would ever reach this conclusion without seeing this Gemara. Why? De'i kimashta chasra. You need a special measuring utensil. Mino yad inan machiser. How do you know? You need special instruments, special technology, special measuring utensils. So what's the big deal? So we'll have a kit. We'll have a kit, an emergency kit in the Beis HaMikdash. Whenever it goes out to precisely measure exactly how much oil you need to make the precise measurements. We'll have special tools, whatever, all different, whatever technology, whatever is necessary, we'll get it there. We'll have a computer.
You have to fill it up in the middle of the night. In the morning, you're going to be lighted. You're going to have to foul conscious. You're going to wait for the oil that was
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right now, it's 3 a.m. Right now, the menorah must be lit. Right now, the leftover oil has been rejected. That's a chiddush in and of itself. That's a big sugya. Dochli. Okay, we can get rid of the old oil. Get rid of the wick. We have to now, but we have 3 hours to go. We have to fill it up. We got to light it. How much? Fill it to the top. What do you mean, fill it to the top? There are only 3 hours left. It's going to burn. It's going to burn during the day, which is a waste. It's a waste. You know why? Because we don't have here in the Beis HaMikdash the measuring utensils to precisely measure how much oil we need until three hours. What do you mean don't have? So go to the store and buy. You'll have in the Beis HaMikdash a whole center to make these measurements, these mathematical measurements to be exactly precise.
No, but you don't need an instrument. You, the other six still burning, you fill it up to that point with the other one.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But obviously, there's more halachas to this. Okay. Hold off for one moment. I hear what you're saying. The Gemara says no. In Cain, if you're going to have more measuring utensils to make these measurements, v'chirak sheva midosh shel lachoy b'migdosh. There's a rule. It's like a halacha l'moshe miSinai. There are exactly 7 different measuring utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's it. Every single thing about the Beis HaMikdash is halacha l'moshe miSinai. And there are only 7 different measuring for the different things that they need. Therefore, if you're going to go now and have to make calculations, Lazer's asking, do it just by estimation, by looking. I know, but you really can't see because they're not glass. It's not like our Hanukkah menorahs. It's not glass. You have to look inside. There has to be precision. There has to be very precision. We need here special utensils, even though they are readily available. By Wolf, good morning.
Good morning.
Even though they are readily available,
But there's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Seven is enough. Seven is, that's it. Seven. Only seven and no more than seven. Nafesh l'midos. Look in the brackets. Hayu tzrichen l'yos yosem midos v'ze lo yitachein. That's what he said. When this answer was given, who asked this question? This was Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi. Okay, who's give the answer? Rabbi Yirmiyah gave the answer. Kari Alei, so Rabbi Yochanan said about Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'hadarucha tzalach. Hadarucha tzalach, same drasha, V'chadatcha, your brilliance, with your brilliant mind, you have succeeded in answering a question that no one knows, that no one will know the answer to. Rechav al dvar emes, v'an v'tzedek. And here in the brackets, kolaymar, al yidei chidudcha hatz lochas lahashiveni dvar emes. Through your brilliance, you have given us an answer, amita shel Torah. In other words, the average person like a blazer, who would ever imagine such an answer? Who would ever think of this? So fill it up halfway, make an estimation, do this, do that. No. It has to be perfect. And in the Beis HaMikdash, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, there are exactly seven measuring steps. And obviously, these are Dvarim Ha'imdim Beruma Shalaylam. And because you can't have more measuring utensils, we have no choice in this situation but to fill it to the very, very top. Fill it to the very, very top, and knew it's going to burn into the day. No, so it'll burn into the day. When it's 6 o'clock in the morning, the day is over. 3 to 6, and now you're going to have, it's going to burn for another 9 hours. It's going to burn into the day. So new. Say it again. It'll run into the cycle the next night.
Yeah.
So then that's like the Ner Ma'aravi. That's not a problem. The Ner Ma'aravi, they had that problem every night because the Ner Ma'aravi, you live for 24 hours. They had a dudishon. When he comes, oh, so you say, so maybe in the morning he blew it out. He put it out. Okay, fine. And then the oil goes to waste, whatever it is. Okay, now this Gemara touches upon incredible things. The Gemara over here is giving this Gemara, I believe it's not just a halachic Gemara. This Gemara is a Devar Agoda. Because first of all, you're dealing with the Menorah. Okay, this Gemara, you probably go to a religious educator. Okay, a Rebbe, a principal of a yeshiva. A Torah u'Mesorah. I challenge, here we are online, Torah u'Mesorah, to take this Gemara and discuss it in public and learn how to teach Yiddish Kindelach throughout the entire America. Okay? And I had an opportunity to go to the Torah u'Mesorah convention to do the same thing. And I told him, no way, once a year is enough. But then I went to Lakewood on Shabbos, and I met a very chashuv person, and he said, and this is really, it was a woman, and she said to me, what a fool you are. If you had a choice between going to the Aguda convention and Torah Mesorah, you should have gone to Torah Mesorah. That's because she used to go many years to both. And she told me, Torah Mesorah, there's something very spectacular to see there. It's no glamour and glitter, but there's a lot of Torah. Okay, in any event, but Torah Mesorah should discuss this. Why? Because the Menorah, what is the Menorah? The Menorah represents teaching Torah. The Aron, there are two Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. There is the Aron HaKodesh, and there is the Menorah. The Menorah, Lahaloi Sner Tamid, there are so many Menorah Chazal, the Menorah, Chanukah is coming up. Chanukah is all about Torah. And the Menorah is the symbol of Torah. It's not just the symbol of Torah. It's the symbol of teaching Torah. Lahadlik Ner Tamid. The Aron is, Torah is Munach B'Keren Zavis. What is the Aron HaKodesh? There's a room that is off limits. No one is allowed to go into that room. It is an Aron. It's in a box, and it's sealed with a heavy kapoires. Inside the Luchos HaBris, no one's allowed to go in there. It's Keren Munach, it's Torah's Munach B'Keren Zavis. And there's something to say about that. But the Menorah is Lahadlik Ner Tamid, to be Mativ the Neros. Lahadlik the Neros. It represents teaching Torah, Talmud Torah.
And here we have a situation where, you know what happened? A Talmud is not doing well. The Talmud burnt out. It's in the middle of the year. The school year goes from, oh, by the way, you know what they're doing very soon? Happening very soon, they're changing. All the yeshivas have conspired. It's it's holding in the bottom of the ninth now. They've been trying this for a while now. I have inside information. Inside information is that every Rebbe will tell you that when the yeshiva starts, elementary school, after Labor Day, it is a churban for the Yomim Noiroim. Because some years you have a week until Rosh Hashanah, some years you have 3 days, some years you have 2 weeks, sometimes there are 3 weeks, and then comes the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. It's such a wasted opportunity. There's no time to properly get in. So all of the yeshivas have conspired. They're all doing this together. Every yeshiva in Brooklyn and in Lakewood, Brooklyn, Lakewood, and also Far Rockaway, Rabbi Bender is on board with this, is they're going to start, it could be even next year, the first day of school, including English, is Rosh Chodesh Elul, no matter when it falls out.
So it could be August.
What? No, you work every year, it's different. No, they're not stopping. Every year is different. When does it fall out in the secular calendar? And the summer vacation is backwards from whenever Rosh Chodesh, all the camps have to follow. All the camps, the girls' schools, the boys' schools. And this will be gold because it will give the yeshiva 4 weeks, kamat, for the students to get into a rhythm.
But it's going to be a tremendous conflict between the camps and the yeshiva.
Right, so the camps are going to fall in line. The camps they're not worried about. The camps have no choice to fall in line. It's going to be an incredible upheaval. The biggest problem, there are two big problems with this, they're working very hard on this, is busing. The government only pays for the buses after Labor Day. The yeshivas get millions of dollars for public transportation. For elementary school and even for high school to some degree. That's a big, big problem. Who's going to be paid? How are they going to have buses to bus 5,000 children to yeshiva? Okay, this is a very, very big problem, and that's why you need people like the Aguda to hustle and to work with, the OU and the Aguda to hustle and to work with the government to be able to negotiate with them that they should pay. They should also rearrange their schedule. They should pay for the busing in the middle of August. Not so simple at all. The second big problem is in the high schools, they take regents. At least in New York, they still take regents. And the regents are given at the end of June. And if Elul next year is starting in the middle of August, then the summer vacation is going to be beginning in the beginning of June. So this is a very big problem with taking the regents. The regents, how are they going to work? They're going to basically have teachers in the camps for the high schools to brush up. It's very complicated. It's not so posh. This is a very big problem. Okay, but the elementary schools don't really have that problem. Only those that give regents in ninth and eighth grade. If you want to work it out, you can work it out. If the chinuch of the children is important, you can find a solution to any problem. Even if it means that the people have to, the yeshivas have to raise the money themselves for the busing, they're going to do it because they rebaim. They feel that this is such an essential problem that the year gets off, you get off on a bad start, it's a churban. To have a whole month of yeshiva until Rosh Hashanah would be gold, would be mamish, would change the world. It would change the entire chinuch. It would have been better. It would have been better. It was good. Look who they produced. They produced Dr. Dove. But could you imagine if they did it that way? We would have Rashna Bahagdov. In any event, going back, what happens, Rabbi said, what happens if a student burns out in the middle of the year? You start out, Lahadlik Ner Tomid. Lahadlik Ner Tomid. You light the candles, and let's say a student burns out in the middle of the year. What do you do? So you got to clean him out. You take him into the principal's office, and you clean him out. You clean him up. You medashain the shemen, and you medashain the wick. And now you got to put. Now we got to fill him up again. How much will we fill him up? Well, there's only 3 months left till the end of the year. So let's just, you know, we'll push him through the end of the year. No, 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 no. When a student burns out and you got to clean him up in the middle of the year, you have to invest in him to restart him with a full dosage of what he needs. Not, okay, we got 3 months left, we'll carry you through. We'll brush you up and we'll push you through the rest. No, no, no. When a student burns out in the middle of the year, you clean them up, you fill them up to the top. You fill them up to the top, you put in a new wick. That's the halacha. Because there are only 7 midos. Don't start making a new, there's a whole discussion about, of every child, there's a whole theory in education that they have. They once tried this on us, they did an experiment, it didn't work out. Every student has a different curriculum, each to his own. Each to his own, open classroom, and every student, the teacher has to monitor where they're holding and give him work according to his madrega in order that he should excel. It's a disaster. Chazal knew it's a disaster. 7 midos. There are only 7 techniques. You don't go start having hundreds of different kalim, in order to measure how much oil you put in. There are only 7 kalim. Don't start making individual curriculum for every single student. There are 7 mahalchim. There are 7 grades. Whatever you want to say. There are only a limited number of techniques, and you don't start customizing, individualizing the curriculum for every single student. I believe that this Gemara over here is mamish in the hashkafa of this Gemara, Dvarim Ha'imdim Berumah Shel Olam, in discussing Jewish education. And if a professional who has real professional training, knowledge, and skill would look at this Gemara and analyze the depth of what it means, he can certainly derive from this Gemara, use it as a springboard to bring out Yesoidos of Chinuch Habanim. There's a menorah, Lahalik Ner Tamid, Torah. Sometimes a ner goes out and you got to fill it up. What's the technique? How do you deal with students who the system fails them, right? That's the proper term. The system fails them. How do you deal with it? There's a lot of chacham over here. Furthermore, on another level, go into Tisha B'Av mode. The menorah, you know.
The concept of the original oil, the fact that it went out, do we say that the original oil was not really a good.
You're saying that's another dimension. I told you this is mamish choymer lidrush. Why taka is the original oil rejected? It's rejected. Now there's a principle in the Gemara called dichui. That's a famous, many Gemaras in Shas about dichui, is where if you have something, you have a carbon, and then the carbon becomes disqualified. And the reason for its disqualification goes away. Is the carbon now reinstated? So we have a principle, well, dichui mechayim, this dichui lachamis, so this is a major, major sugi. But there are many situations where once a carbon has been rejected, even if the reason for its rejection goes away, once it's rejected, it can never be reinstated.
Once you buy the mice or animal, you can't switch it back.
Okay, that's a different topic. That's something a little bit different. But once it's been rejected, once this has been rejected, there's nothing that we can do about it. So the oil basically has been lit. It's been used, designated for this mitzvah, and now it's no good. Now it went out. To a degree, there's a dichui. I mean, is that really correct? Or is this a different principle? I don't know, but it's saying. Okay, now let's use the same exact modern reference to the geula. The geula. You know, one of the highlights, it's a hashkacha pratis. Hashkacha pratis is that the only zecher, physical zecher we have today of the Churban Bayis Sheni is the Arch of Titus. Can you imagine if there wasn't an Arch of Titus? It's an incredible bracha that there's an Arch of Titus. You should really go there, people that go there, Titus, where are you? We're here, where are you? Then they make litzanis. You know, Titus, Yemach Shemov Zichro, don't get me wrong, he did us a very big favor. Tremendous favor with that Arch of Titus. Because if there was no Arch of Titus, I have no doubt in my mind that every textbook in the world would deny there was ever a Beis HaMikdash.
It is
how do you know? Because they do deny it. They anyway deny it. There would be no doubt. They would just say, the Jews, you never had Yerushalayim, you never existed. That's the derech of the world. Derech of the world is to rewrite history. Revisionists, to rewrite history. There was never a Beis HaMikdash. What are you talking about? Your Talmud, your Baba Maisis. They can't say that. What? Right, they can't say, they'll say, the reason why you don't hear them saying this is because, go to Rome, the Arch of Titus is there. There's a depiction, a massive structure that testifies, that's still here for 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years, testimony that there was once upon a time, there was a Beis HaMikdash, and there were Jews who served and lived in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a menorah, and there was the other kalim there, and Titus, Rome destroyed it. You can't deny it. It's a massive structure.
They can deny whatever they want, and people will believe it.
It's true. You're saying good. It's taka true. Even with the Arch of Titus, they'll still deny it. Right. It's true. But it makes it much harder for them. It does make it a little bit harder for them to do that. It's very interesting how Shkocha Pratis, that the Arch of Titus, the only physical testimony that we have now, 1,953 years later, is a depiction of the menorah. And you'll know that when you lie, you always lie about the thing that is the most true. It's a mitzvah. If there, what does that depiction say? The menorah kovener b'mayrif. The menorah went out. We got it. We got the menorah. Look in Rome. Look at Rome. On the Arch of Titus is the menorah. We're depicting the slaves, the Jews, they're schlepping that the menorah, which weighed tons, and the Jews are schlepping it. Look, we conquered you. We extinguished your candelabra. The candelabra, Chazal say, is Eidus, Shehashchina Shoyre B'Yisrael. The Ner Ma'aravi that lit 24 hours, the words of Chazal is testimony. Shehashchina Shoyre B'Yisrael. Is it not a Hashkocha Pratis? That from all of the things that are depicted, that the Goyim want to say, look what we did, we achieved, it's the menorah? Because that's the biggest lie of them all. The biggest lie of them all is they think they extinguished the Ner Ma'aravi. They think that they took away Eidus Shehashchina Shoyre B'Yisrael. There's no greater emes that the Shechina is our survival. Until now, is the greatest emes that the Shechina is Shoyre B'Yisrael. Whatever bothers you the most is what you attack. Isn't that the mitzvah? Whatever, when people who lie, that's a psychology. Someone's jealous. They're jealous, and they want to have a temper tantrum and rip down. They rip down what bothers them the most. What bothers the goyim, the jealousy of the goyim, is the Eidus Shehashchina Shoyre B'Yisrael. That's what they depicted. They depicted the menorah on the Arch of Titus. The Shechina is Shoyre B'Yisrael, the Eidus. This Gemara talks about what happens if the Ner goes out. Now, I'm telling a little bit of a contradiction. It appears to the naked eye that the Romans are right. The Ner went out. Maybe it does appear the Ner went out. The Haraya, look, where's the menorah? Where's the menorah today? No one knows that. No one knows where it is. But the Arch of Titus screams, screams to the world, we Edoim, we extinguish the Ner.
Did it ever go out in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? You don't
know. What?
Did it ever go out in the time of the Beis HaMikdash?
It's the Ner Ma'aravi, the Chazal said, the last 40 years. The last 40 years of the Bayesheni, the Ner Ma'aravi did not remain lit. and it was a bad sign. It meant that the Shekhinah is leaving. The last 40 years of the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Rishon, we don't know much about what happened to Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon was supernatural. It was Nevuah. But the Bayis Sheni, Chazal say, Beferish, the last 40 years, the Ner Maravi did not remain lit. It only remained at night. In the morning, it went out. The Ner went out. The Goyim told us, you're in Golis. We extinguished the Ner. You know, maybe they got a point. So what do we have to do now? We have to reboot. The Ner went out. What do you do when the Ner went out? You just clean up the oil and you just put in a little more light. When you relight the Ner, you have to relight the Ner with the full toikif, the full shear of what we need to do. When you bring the Geula, Klal Yisrael now is in a matziv of bringing the Geula. In Golus, we're preparing the oil and the psila. You don't just prepare a little oil. Take some measurements, some kleine kalim, small kalim, kalim pachim kitanim, and fill up. It's a little oil, to just so it should last a little bit. In Golus, the Ner is out to a degree. And now we have to do avodah to relight the Ner. So how much oil should we prepare? What kind of kalim? Little kleine kalim? No. The grosse kalim. There are only 7 kalim in the Mikdash. The big kalim. You have to invest with big hasogas, grosse kalim, which represents big, all your entire arsenal, and with an enormous amount of shemen, to fill up the Ner all the way to the top and to relight it fresh. Don't settle when you rekindle the Beis HaMikdash. When you take the Ner, the menorah that's on the Arch of Titus, off the Arch of Titus, and you bring it back to the Beis HaMikdash and you relight it, don't relight it with kleina hasogis, or just small kalim, and a small amount of oil. It has to be restored to its former glory, to restart as if we're starting all over again. Not just, okay, let's just bring back what we had before. There is a much greater intensity, a much greater, it's a frame of mind. It's a frame of mind to have big hasagas. Not to be satisfied with small accomplishments, to have groisa hasagas. Okay. Big hasagas. The art school, this art school, this edition, unbelievable. Groisa hasagas. Absolutely. Rav Kalman, we're going to bring you to the next art school convention. Groisa hasagas. Okay. Chaim Yishno, Chaim Berlin has a lot to offer in that. Yeah. Big hasagas. Rav Chutner had big hasagas. Not kleina hasagas. You know, you just get through life. You know, you learn a little bit. You daven a little bit. Think big. If the Ner goes out, you don't just light a little oil. You light it full. Okay, this...
Germans did, you know what they did? They recorded everything, numbers, names, yeah, and everything. Yes. So they cannot say there was no Holocaust. The Germans won't do that.
Yeah, they still deny it. They still deny it. It's a terrible thing. Liars, sheker, ganovim. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Terrible thing. Terrible thing to lie and to cheat. Like never really appreciated this. I'm not here to talk politics. If you know, the big debate is there election fraud, not election fraud, none of my business. I'm not over here to debate this issue. Today the government threatens you. If you even say the word, you're a mamash, you're a terrorist. But you think, I never really appreciated this. If there is such a thing where you steal an election, that's amazing. That's an incredible thing to deny, to steal leadership. To steal a leader,
The people have a desire to appoint a leader and to steal from people their leader. It's an incredible madrig of Geneva. This Geneva, this is what it means, Goynev Nefashos. A drush in Goynev Nefashos, in the Aseres HaDibros, of Loi Tignoif. In the Aseres HaDibros, what is Loi Tignoif? Kidnapping human beings. What does that mean exactly? What do you mean? What do you mean you kidnap human beings? What does that mean? I know the Pashup Shah, right? So this is practical. I mean, you're going to kidnap a person. You can make him into a slave. In our generation, it's not very. It happened. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying it happened in the Spanish in the Chmielnytsky massacres. Human trafficking. But there's another understanding of what it means. It means to steal an election. Is Loi Tignoif, because you're stealing people. You're stealing the desired leader. A person was there was a desire from the tzibur to appoint a person to lead them. And if you manipulate things, a person would engage in such activity, you're taking away a neshama from a tzibur. You're going to have nefashos. Yes.
It's depriving a person's right to choose.
You're stealing his neshama. You're stealing his bechira.
Whether it's depriving a person of his freedom, his physical freedom, or his freedom of choice to choose in an election setting.
It's a very powerful thing. You appreciate now why there has to be so much security and so much honesty, because you're dealing with the Aseres HaDibros. Loi Tignoif. So what does it mean you stole my wives, you stole my children? It means you put into them values. You put into them values. But with my children and my wives, are they going to stay by you, Lavan? You're going to work on them. You're going to brainwash them and put in them values that are antithesis to the Torah, and you're stealing them from me. You're stealing their potential, their neshamas. Their neshamas can develop in a beautiful way, and by poisoning their minds, you're stealing their neshamas. There's a degree of Loi Tignoif, a homiletic interpretation of Loi Tignoif. Okay, Rabbi Isai, I wanted to go forward to the next time, or to review. Next time, we're going to start with Pasuk Zayin. Okay, we're done with what I wanted to discuss. Pasuk Zayin the next time. Again, Rabbi Isai, tomorrow we have a special treat. A special treat, Rabbi Maievsky. Those who are online also should be aware that we have a special treat that tomorrow Rabbi Maievsky will be giving the shiur here tomorrow. Same channel, same station, at 9:30 here in this room. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to continue. We learned yesterday, we're going to talk about a little bit more about Zmanim. Say Sakai Chavim.
Your testimony, Rabbi Shekhalav, Rabbi Dovah Zinstein, who was the head of the